When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey there, friends. Life can be as complex as the cases we explore, and sometimes it's tough to carry the weight of it all by yourself. We all have those stressors that we just need to get off our chest. Therapy can be that safe place where you can let it all out and work through what's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for major trauma. It's also about learning to set boundaries and developing positive coping skills. Personally, I've found therapy to be incredibly empowering. It helps me become the best version of myself. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's completely online, making it convenient and flexible to fit into your busy life. Just fill out a quick questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you feel the need to switch therapists, you can do so at any time without any extra charges. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/foul today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/foul, FOUL. Hello, friend. Welcome back to Foul Play. In the late 1960s, across Northern California, the killer who self-titled himself the Zodiac engaged in a high-stakes game of cat and mouse. He terrorized his victims, inflicting cold-blooded violence and no warning he was about to strike. He toyed with law enforcement, weaving a complex network of fear. His acts were carried out with a constant aura of threat, putting more innocent lives on the line. His taunting letters and cryptic ciphers added layers of psychological warfare, making each move a perilous dance, where one misstep could mean another lost life. The chilling unpredictability of his next strike kept everyone on edge, trapped in a labyrinth of uncertainty. In 1974, the Zodiac sent his last confirmed letter. This killer had presented new challenges to law enforcement. He changed his MO, switched weapons, and altered his targeted victims. His hunting ground covered a wide radius. His communications may have ceased, but the hunt to catch him and obtain justice for those he killed and harmed remained firmly in place. What makes serial killers truly horrifying is their ability to blend in seamlessly. They are the chameleons of the criminal world. Empathy and remorse do not feature within their psyche. Yet they manage to leave lives that appear completely normal to those around them. They are true manipulators and experts at hiding their inner selves. Dennis Rader appeared to be a model citizen, a married man with two children, a respectable job, and the role of congregational president at his local church. Yet behind this facade, Rader was the self-proclaimed BTK killer, blind torture kill. For years, he broke into homes, committing horrific acts of violence and murder, before seamlessly returning to his ordinary family life. Rader is often described as an extreme narcissist, driven by an insatiable craving for fame and notoriety. He, like the Zodiac, wrote letters to news outlets, In discussions with criminologists, he admitted to seeking inspiration from fellow killers. His desire for the same level of public acclaim drove his actions. In 2005, he sent a floppy disk to a newspaper, which revealed his identity through hidden metadata. A DNA match confirmed he was the BTK killer. Dennis Rader's chilling confession to 10 murders earned him 10 consecutive life sentences. The world of serial killers is a dark one. Their intentions, behaviors, and motivations are not for the faint of heart. Some are driven by a twisted vision, their killing sparked by psychotic breaks. Others see themselves on a mission, convinced they're serving society in some manner by killing their victims. Some murder for money, killing another human in a quest of greed to access life insurance or property. The Zodiac Killer defies these classifications. He doesn't fit into these neatly researched boxes.
What were some of the possible internal motivations and machinations behind the Zodiac Killer's spree?
When you ask me these questions, I literally put myself in the place of the Zodiac. What would I do as a Zodiac? I do not believe that he was mentally ill. I don't think that he didn't know right from wrong. He absolutely knew exactly what he was doing. This was a head trip for him. This was a power control issue. He loved the control, and the game he played out was played so well that all these law enforcement officials could not track him down. A true narcissist is someone who, it's all about them. Everything is about them. Some people are narcissistic a little bit, and that's okay, but people who are true narcissists, they have this personality that you really can't survive them because they always have to be in charge. It's always about them. It will never be about anybody else but them. He wants to control the city, and by doing that, he creates fear. I can kill people wherever I want to go. I can kill them no matter where it is in the city. You are all at risk. Look out. Here I am. And so he shows I can stab them, I can shoot them, or I can be in a cab. You never know when you might get killed. So that created a lot of fear in the city, a lot of pressure on law enforcement. And the more he did, the more he got away with it, I think the more powerful he felt. He was not going to be caught.
The Zodiac is a hybrid kind of killer. His murders and behavior patterns show a mix of motivations, somewhere between the hedonistic thrill killer, who enjoys the act of murder, and the power control killer, who aims to hold power and elicit fear in his victims. The Zodiac added another element to his frightening reign of terror. He wrote letters confessing to his murders and teasing police about their failure to catch him. His communications highlighted a desire for fame and notoriety. He enjoyed playing a game with the authorities, watching their hunt for him closely, and toying with them like a cat playing with a captured mouse. He gave hints at his motivations. He provided facts and details to prove he was the killer they were hunting. He teased and belittled them for not being able to catch him. He included threats and ultimatums in his letters, aiming to scare the public as much as the police. He wanted his work published for the world to see, and threatened more violence if newspapers did not give in to his demands. The Zodiac also chose to send puzzles in the way of ciphers, along with indications his real identity would be revealed if the ciphers were solved. He wanted a scramble of attempts to unravel his creation. He wanted to see everyone working on the puzzle he had left for them. 4 ciphers were sent by the Zodiac in total. His first was 408 characters long and sent in 3 separate parts to different newspapers. It was solved within weeks of publication by an amateur couple. It failed to reveal the identity that the Zodiac promised. His second cipher was also long at 340 characters. This took an altogether different track, with 50 years passing before it was solved. In 2020, a team of three individuals had been working on this cipher since 2018. Finally, they cracked it. Listen to how they did it in our bonus episode soon to be released. In one of the most influential books on the Zodiac case, author Robert Graysmith, who spent years researching the Zodiac, called him a sexual sadist, who only received sexual gratification through acts of violence. He wrote his book Zodiac in 1986, and it was used as the basis for a film of the same name in 2007. His book is often regarded as bringing the cold case of the Zodiac back into the public eye. An episode later in this series will give you the full fascinating story of both the book and the film made 2 decades later. Although there were no obvious signs of a sexual motive in the 5 confirmed murders the Zodiac carried out, sexual sadism can present itself in less obvious ways. It is not defined as only acts against another person, but also being preoccupied and obsessed with sadistic sexual-themed thoughts. Twisted fantasies that may or may not have been acted out in person. The Zodiac talked of his enjoyment of killing in the hidden messages of his first ciphers. He left no doubt that taking the lives of others gave him great excitement and pleasure.
The murders terrified San Francisco, making headlines daily, which only fed the Zodiac's obsession. He took credit for his crimes, enjoying the limelight. Cryptograms he sent contained coded messages, exposing his psychotic fantasies. When decoded, the messages began, "I like killing people because it's so much fun."
What it tells you about the person, too, is he's very obsessive compulsive. It would take hours and hours and maybe days to put this all together. But what he's doing here, he's telling us how bright he is. He's telling us, he's a lot smarter than the rest of the world.
Till finally, the most terrifying letter of all, threatening the assassination of school children, sending the public into a panic. But Douglas believes he never intended to kill those kids.
These children represent even himself. Helpless, hopeless, innocent children. He could have had a life like that. But he knew that by making this threat, that would be a way for him, again, to manipulate law enforcement. If you would one day find him and find his room and go through his belongings, he would have every newspaper clipping, every story that's ever been written about him. He would have his own personal diaries where he's communicating to himself. The obsession, the fantasy stays there. You can't take it from them, no matter what you do. You can torture them, but you can't take that fantasy or that obsession away.
The Zodiac struck in the late 60s, but it seems his influence carried on for decades.
The Zodiac sparked a disturbing pattern when he began communicating like he did with the press and law enforcement. A slew of horrendous killers came after him, and also began wielding words as weapons in letters to news outlets. Dennis Rader, the BTK killer, appeared in 1974. 2 years later, Sam Berkowitz, the son of Sam, began his series of shootings in New York City. Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, appeared in 1978 when he detonated a homemade bomb at Chicago University. All three of these men wrote letters and notes about their acts of violence. It appeared that as the 1970s moved forward, this was a new common way for killers to express themselves. The Zodiac not only liked to boast about his killing of innocent victims, but provide details on how he went about it. Hey friends. Picture this. You're planning an epic international trip, and you can chat with locals in their language. How cool would that be? Or maybe you want to enjoy foreign true crime documentaries without the subtitles. Learning a new language can open so many doors, but let's be real, traditional methods can be a drag. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Rosetta Stone, the most trusted language learning program out there. Rosetta Stone has been around for 30 years, helping millions of users master 25 languages, from Spanish and French to Korean and Arabic. The key to their success? Total immersion. Their intuitive methods let you pick up a language naturally, starting with words, then phrases, and finally full sentences. One feature I love is True Accent, which gives you feedback on your pronunciation, like having a personal trainer for your accent. And the convenience? Amazing. You can switch between your desktop and mobile app, and even download lessons for offline use. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Foul Play listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. At Lake Herman Road, the Zodiac crept up on his unsuspecting victims under the cover of darkness. With him, he had a gun that he planned to use. In his second letter confessing to this brutal crime, he wrote about taping a flashlight to the barrel of his gun, using the beam of light to center his aim and ensure he hit Betty Lou Jensen and David Faraday when he fired. The killer left 10 bullet casings at the scene. As he fired each shot on that dark night, the casing was ejected from the gun chamber to allow the next bullet to be ready to fire. He used Winchester Western Super X ammunition, fired from what the investigators believed to be a .22 semi-automatic pistol. It would prove to be the same type of ammunition used in the June 1963 murders of Robert Domingos and Linda Edwards in Santa Barbara County, a possible much earlier attack by the Zodiac Killer. When the Zodiac moved 4 miles from Lake Herman Road and into Blue Rock Springs 6 months later, he once again chose to carry out his attack using a gun. He didn't, however, use the same gun and ammunition. The bullets that struck Darlene Farron and Michael Maggio on July 4, 1969 were 9mm bullets. In his confession phone call made to the Vallejo Police Department, the Zodiac claimed he had shot them with a 9mm Luger. In the final crime scene attributed to the Zodiac, cab driver Paul Stein was murdered in San Francisco. He was shot twice and left inside his cab. He too had been shot with a 9mm pistol. It was not the same type as the killer used at Blue Rock Springs. The Zodiac used different weapons for each of his brutal attacks. It may have been a calculated move to discard each weapon after use, minimize the risk of any weapon being traced back to him. He had access to an array of guns, and he seemingly could handle them with skill and confidence. It was another unsettling layer to the Zodiac's already sinister profile. All of his attacks had an aspect of premeditation. When he arrived, he was armed. His targets were couples, alone and relatively secluded away from other people. His first two attacks utilized the darkness to aid in obscuring his identity and making his getaway unseen. Lake Berryessa was a daytime attack. Bright sunlight illuminated both the sky and the scene. The Zodiac arrived with an elaborate, possibly homemade hood, multiple weapons, and a deadly plan. It is likely he stalked this beautiful spot on that day, hunting for the victims he wanted to target. There was a man fitting that same description watching three teenage girls at Lake Berryessa earlier that day. It may have been the Zodiac stalking his potential prey. It may not have been his first time doing so. At Lake Berryessa, he escalated his behavior to get more attention. The use of a knife is a more personal attack than the use of a gun. Tying up his victims and interacting with them first are new aspects that did garner more media attention. If he wanted to increase his notoriety, then he succeeded. When he killed cab driver Paul Stein in Presidio Heights in October 1969, it was not an attack immediately attributed to the Zodiac. This murder was out of his usual targets of couples. It appeared a random, devastating robbery on a cab driver within a busy and sadly crime-ridden city. This murder saw the killer wipe down the cab before fleeing the scene. He was watched by three young witnesses and spotted by two police officers on their way to the crime scene. Both factors that may have contributed to this killing being his last. On April 25th, 2018, in Sacramento, California, the FBI and local police departments held a press conference. They announced the arrest of an individual by the name of Joseph James DeAngelo, although the case they were talking about was not the Zodiac. Through complex DNA analysis and painstaking genealogy work, DeAngelo had been identified as the Golden State Killer, a serial killer who was active between the mid-1970s and 1986. It was a testament to the power of science. The advancement of DNA has been a pivotal tool in the hunt for offenders who have evaded justice. It is not the first time it's been used to capture a serial killer. DNA had identified the Green River Killer, Gary Ridgway, in 2001, who murdered 49 women after 20 years of him evading justice. He is now serving life without parole behind bars. In the strands of DNA lies that science that can place an individual at a crime scene, a unique and undeniable trace that can leave a guilty criminal no room to maneuver away from charges and convictions. At the time the Zodiac was carrying out his gruesome crimes, he had no idea this science existed. It is this fact that many hope means he will be captured. The Zodiac killings remained out of grasp of federal jurisdiction, and the FBI never opened a dedicated investigation into the killer. However, local law enforcement agencies, grappling with these murders, dispatched their evidence to the multiple advanced departments within the FBI for expert analysis. This has included handwriting analysis, cryptanalysis, and fingerprint examination. The Zodiac Killer maintained a chilling correspondence with the press, sending a barrage of letters, envelopes, and postcards. These haunting missives have been meticulously archived within the Zodiac case files, scattered across various police departments' jurisdictions. However, amidst the vast collection, some pieces have vanished, lost to time as the years have marched on. Those that remain have been handled countless times. In 2002, the San Francisco police managed to extract a partial DNA profile from the saliva found on the back of a stamp affixed to an envelope believed to be from the Zodiac Killer. While this profile is not complete, it represents a crucial piece of the puzzle in the ongoing investigation. Although it lacks comprehensive detail needed for definite identification, it serves as a valuable tool for the elimination of potential suspects who do not match the profile. There is no guarantee the DNA on the stamp originates from the Zodiac. Simply, we cannot conclude without any doubt that he was the one who licked the stamp. There are many valid reasons why someone else may have licked that stamp and may not have known what they were inadvertently part of. There is a stark contrast between late 1960s America and today's modern era. Today, cell phone data shadows our every move, and CCTV cameras capture our daily routine. Merge both technologies and an intricate map of movements and actions is laid out. Today, the world is digital, and it's difficult to hide from. Back in the era of the Zodiac, no such thing existed. Since the discovery of the partial DNA match in 2002, efforts to unravel the mystery of the Zodiac have taken intriguing turns. In both 2010 and 2018, the original Zodiac communications were sent to labs for further testing. Each time there was hope, new cutting-edge technology would discover pivotal new evidence. So far, this has not been the case. Within the labyrinth of the Zodiac case, several pieces of evidence remain undiscovered. The car keys and wallet of Paul Stein were believed to have been taken by this killer. The sophisticated hood of the Zodiac wore to carry out his attack at Lake Berryessa has never been found. All of these are items that could link an individual to these crimes if they were ever found in their possession. As 1974 came to an end, the Zodiac killer remained silent and absent. There would be some communications that fluttered in, but none that were considered to be genuinely from this killer. There was no easing up on the relentless pursuit to locate and identify him. Suspicions can be dangerous. Circumstantial evidence can be crucial in a criminal case. But when working with that alone, it can be a double-edged sword. The pieces of the puzzle may fit together, but the whole picture may not be on display. The biggest challenge is separating fact from fiction. The hunt for suspects is complex and painstaking, and there has been no shortage of them in the case of the Zodiac. Years of investigation from both seasoned investigators and amateur sleuths have culminated in an array of individuals being within the crosshairs of suspicion. There was one individual who came onto the radar of police around 1969. He was a man with a troubled and dubious history. According to a friend, he harbored a fascination with a chilling and lethal protagonist, a character by the name of the Zodiac. This information suggested a connection between fiction and the grim realities of these unsolved crimes. With each revelation, the puzzling persona of this man becomes more compelling, beckoning us to explore the depths of his dark past and the secrets he may hold about the notorious Zodiac.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.